Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Debbie has weakened to a tropical storm, slamming parts of the southeast. National Weather Service meteorologist John Quagliarello.
Potential for historic rainfall, which is likely to result in areas of catastrophic flash and urban flooding this week in association with Tropical Storm Debbie.
At least five deaths blamed on the storm, one in Georgia, four in Florida. Stocks are bouncing back after yesterday's market sell-off. CBS's Jolene Kent.
It is highly unlikely that the Fed will call an emergency meeting. We do expect that previously scheduled meeting in mid-September, though, to yield an interest rate cut. It's just now a matter of how much.
A federal judge has ruled Google's been violating U.S. antitrust law by spending billions of dollars to promote its search engine. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
In a lot of ways, one of the easier parts of this case has been answered. Now that Google is decidedly a monopolist, now the hard part is what do we do about it?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The first cases of West Nile virus infections in Wisconsin this year have turned up in a would-be blood donor in Washington County and a dead bird in Chippewa County. It means infected mosquitoes are transmitting the virus to people and animals. 150 people at three wood product factories are out of a job, Lisa Hale reports.
Wisconsin Veneer and Plywood of Mattoon and Goodman Veneer and Lumber Company informed the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development that they would close the facilities and terminate all employees Friday, August 2nd. Birchwood Manufacturing and Rice Lake also closed. The companies are all owned by Bessie Forest Products Group. They said unprecedented industry downturn forced the closures. I'm Lisa Hale.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers get Kraft back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After suffering a torn pectoral muscle this spring, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft has been cleared to practice.
I think the reason why I'm playing in the NFL is because my yak capabilities. You know, we get in a hot situation, I'm in the flat, catch the ball, it's a 20-yard game.
Baseball, L.A. Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman returned to action after being at his 3-year-old son Max's bedside last week, paralyzed with Guillain-Barré syndrome.
It's been a long week. No one should have to go through this, especially a 3-year-old. I don't know how many times Chelsea and I said we wish we could switch, you know.
The boy's now back home in recovery. Freeman thanking the Dodgers organization and Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Anybody associated with the Dodgers has been incredible. And then I want to give a shout out to Pat Murphy and his staff. They actually sent a whole video to us and my family about how they were praying for us and wishing us well.
The Brewers play the Braves tonight in Atlanta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils Advocates radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his curl. Tune in Devils.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Lingering showers and thunderstorms this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, 68, with wind out of the northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, 64. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
That's almost the sound of what we've heard overnight and again this morning. Welcome, everybody. It's a Tuesday, and it is another great day at the Wisconsin State Fair Park here in West Allis. That's where you'll find the entire Midwest Farm Report team this morning. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yeah, today is our big day. In cooperation with the Wisconsin State Fair, we'll be celebrating and focusing in on our century and sesquicentennial farms and homes all across the state of Wisconsin, starting at about 7 a.m. this morning under the big circus tent in the parking lot of State Fair Park. The farm families that are able will gather together to be recognized for their tenacity of keeping that farm, that home in the family for 100 or 150 plus years. And every one of them has a story. In fact, we'll share one of those stories with you coming up a little bit later this morning. I do wish the weather had been a little more cooperative. In the Milwaukee area overnight, some pretty heavy storms that rolled through, bringing some fairly heavy rain. The good news is State Fair Park is ready to handle all those kinds of situations. Now, we do have a chance of rain in our forecast, at least here at State Fair Park, until at least 7 a.m. this morning. But then the rest of the day looks pretty decent. Temperatures are going to be very comfortable with highs today probably in the upper 60s to low 70s. So again, maybe it's a day where you grab a rain jacket or an umbrella and plan on joining us here. For the rest of the week, it actually looks very, very nice. Sunshine on the way tomorrow, 77 our expected high, and it looks like Thursday is going to bring us sunshine, probably around 78 degrees. Now, as I said, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has weather details in just a moment, and we'll also be catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Boy, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Nikkei Average, all of that on the global currency scene has been catching attention. What about our commodities? John will bring us up to speed, so you stick along. Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Our license plates really do say it all. Wisconsin is America's Dairyland. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. Last winter, there were some hearings on those federal milk marketing orders. I've got Leonard Polzine. He is the dairy markets and outreach specialist for UW Extension. These hearings happened last winter. It's still quite a process to get them passed through the function of those federal milk marketing orders. So why don't we start with that?
The hearing itself formally concluded around January of this year. And what the USDA did is take hours and hours and days and days and days of testimony and thousands of pages of information from folks, and then took that back, synthesized it, went through it, and then recently they came out with this announcement, preliminary announcement, of what some of the proposed rule changes might look like. That's what's been hitting the headlines recently in that policy arena, right? Is like, hey, this is what you might expect in a final ruling. So I think it's important to understand that the final ruling has not come out yet. This is just a courtesy announcement of, you know, hey, this is the main things we're thinking of. So that way folks can start to get to prepared and do analysis and start the appropriate conversations going. So that way, when it does come time to vote this fall or end of this year on what these proposed changes are, that we can be as prepared and educated as possible.
Making that relationship to how the federal milk marketing orders really affect them in their business. Is that really the goal for this preliminary release of information?
Yep, correct. Yeah, to see what the impacts of some of these changes are going to be and answer any questions that they have. Also, it gives the industry a chance to respond as well and then give back information to see if there's, you know, additional changes, adjustments, things like this.
These changes that are proposed, Does it change any of those roles and rules and the function of the federal milk marketing order?
When you're thinking of what the federal orders do and what they are, is to think of them almost as a traffic cop for dairy markets. They don't set the prices. The market sets the prices. They're a mechanism in which a lot of our trafficking, policing happens within dairy pricing, right? They're the mechanism in which some of the math happens, in which some of the transmission of information, price discovery information, things like this happen. So oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, oh, federal orders set a minimum price. No, they don't. They provide information that's used then as a minimum price at times. They don't set it. The market does. Where a lot of people know what the role of orders are is like the administrative, right? You get your statistics. They put out information weekly, monthly on, you know, different orders and product prices and surveys and things like this, right? That's kind of a function everybody knows. Some of the other things that maybe we don't think of, obviously they do the classified pricing, right? Which is based on your end products. So they take the end product of what's actually being sold out in the marketplace and then, you know, take those prices and then convert them to their fat and protein values. And then from that, that's how we get some of our pay price on a per hundredweight basis, right? End product pricing, classified pricing based on end use. Because they do that, it prevents a lot of this like race to higher classes where if we didn't have that, everybody would want to get into our fluid market. Everybody'd want to get into the class, you know, that class one higher price market, right? And then essentially you'd have, you know, more undercutting and things like this. So what it does is kind of even the playing field in that regard. The other thing it does is establishes these minimum uniform prices across the pool. Also, it provides weights and measures of component values and volume measures on the handler and plant side. So they are the organization, the authority that says like, hey, these things need to be calibrated. They work with, you know, the state officials and such to say that, you know, we want to make sure producers are getting paid for what they're actually producing and giving to handlers. Another function I think a lot of people maybe overlook, but if it wasn't there, they wouldn't be so happy about, is ensuring timely payments. The federal orders are what have set rules for the time periods in which producers receive their milk checks, right? So without federal orders, you could easily go to a 30, 60, maybe 90 day terms in when you receive your actual milk check. So the other things that they do are export certification services, dairy product standards and product grading. And then also sometimes they do some promotion programs. Here's the big reason why we went through that list of things. So we had this hearing, we have this recommendation. Eventually they'll submit their final ruling. From there, there's gonna be a vote. The way that vote takes place is it's based on representation of milk. Usually what that means is cooperatives. So co-ops will vote, or whoever is there that represents milk is going to vote and say yes or no, right? They will vote yes or no. But here's what they're voting yes or no to. They're going to vote, do we accept these changes? That's a yes vote. A no vote is to get rid of the orders. We're not voting no to the proposal and then going back to what it was. That's not an option. Either it's yes, we go forward with this, or no, we do not have orders. So all of those roles and functions that we just mentioned, from verifying weights and measures to export certification to product standards to ensuring timely payment, if there's a no vote, there will be no more traffic cop for any of these functions that the order currently has. And at the moment, there is no backstop in place that says, hey, if the orders go away, this is what takes these takes the place of them for these important roles and functions, especially on the producer side.
What about the parts of your milk check or parts of the milk price? Does the federal milk marketing order have a say in what those parts look like?
There's kind of these three layers that go into it. So the easiest way to kind of conceptualize it is that like your base, your foundation is from this federal milk marketing order information. Even if the plant doesn't pool their milk and participate in the order during that time period, because of the function of market gathering and information that the federal orders do, it creates this more uniform reference price for the entire market. Where if we didn't have that for like weekly surveys or monthly information, then the ability to have these consistent reference prices and market information coming from, you know, essentially the consumer side back through, transmitting back through this price system back to the processor and farmer, right? We wouldn't have that. So we could see longer lags. You could see just way less actual representative pay price to the producer relative to what the consumer demand and consumer would be telling us. The second layer to that is your co-op or your handler's price to you. Increasing variation between pay price from different co-ops at the moment. What the hearing was trying to do or address by having these make allowances increased. Make allowance is the amount that the manufacturer is allowed in order to transfer that raw product into raw product to milk into, like, you know, your actual saleable product. But then you also need to have some sort of factor in there for manufacturing in order to get to a farmer's price. By changing these make allowances, the hope is that instead of taking from these premiums, like premiums for cell count or what they call over-order premiums, the hope is that if we can increase make allowance, then we can get some of these premiums back into the milk checks. For the class one skim milk price, instead of going from the average of class three or four, we're going back to the higher of class three or four. So then that should help with the PPDs as well. So the hope here is that we can not have as many of these deductions on pay prices if we're allocating for this make allowance. And then hopefully we can get that second level of these, you know, regional co-op of price discovery, hopefully back into some farmer's favor there. And then kind of that third level of that milk price is the farm's, you know, specific premiums or performance things, right? Whether if you have low cell count or higher components or volume premiums or what have you. Like, each one matters. Sometimes one matters more than the other. But, like, without the federal orders, kind of that base level of price information would not be there. So then it would all be on the individual co-op or, you know, handler in order to have the price transmission at their discretion.
Good to get those updates on the federal milk marketing order from Leonard Posen. He is the Dairy Markets and Outreach Specialist with UW Extension. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwaba.
I was in a drive-through line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome writer, comedian, producer Tony Boswell. And from Reno 911 and Night at the Museum, the incredibly talented Thomas Lennon.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm a little worried about what we're going to deal with weather-wise. Let's find out about the details ahead. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. Yeah, buddy, this is not exactly the kind of weather that we ordered up for this big day for a lot of farm families from across the state. But how long do you see this pattern kind of hanging over State Fair Park or Wisconsin, for that matter?
The easy, wise guy answer, Pam, as long as Mother Nature thinks it should be around. No, the rain is ending to the northwest. We'll end to the southeast as we head toward midday, or maybe linger into early afternoon in far southeast Wisconsin, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. But rain amounts have been on the heavier side. Some wind along with all of this. It is a pretty wet start to our Tuesday. But we are going to talk about still some cooler than normal temperatures, and the rain will be ending from northwest to southeast through the day today. We'll begin to dry it out. Sunshine returning already this afternoon. More sunshine Wednesday, Thursday, on into the day Friday. Temperatures in the 70s. Yes, that's cooler than normal. Remember, we should be in the lower 80s. Western Wisconsin about 85, in fact. But we're going to talk about 70s over the next several days, slowly warming somewhat through the week. Weekend. A slight rain chance could graze the north late this week. More likely that slight chance of rain trying to redevelop as we look on toward late Monday or into the day Tuesday. So once we get through a wet day today, of course, we start to dry it out and look forward to a little better pattern as we head on through the rest of the week. I'll check those forecast details right after this.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compeer Financial's AgriMindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compeer's next AgriMindset webinar at compeer.com/register. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
This year's Farm Technology Days is growing to the tune of success. August 13th through the 15th at the Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, Wisconsin. This year's show takes a glimpse into the future of agriculture with technology and technique. Visit wifarmtechdays.org for a full schedule of events.
Join our friends from Compeer Financial and the Agribusiness Tent 2 and the Midwest Farm Report at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days on August 13th at 2 p.m. Compeer Financial is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at compeer.com.
Of course, cloudy skies, showers, even a thunderstorm or two, ending from northwest to southeast, ending midday, list into the afternoon in the southeast. Now I expect temps in the low to mid-70s, coolest southeast, warmest in the northwest, and winds will become northeast at about 5 to 15. We'll be more clear overnight, dropping to 56, northeast winds at 5 to 10. Mostly sunny tomorrow, mid and upper 70s with that east wind at 5, and mostly sunny on Thursday, upper 70s. There may be an 80 in western Wisconsin as winds will become southwest around 5 on Thursday. More sunshine, low and mid-70s on Friday. All in all, a nice air-conditioned break after that very warm week we had last week. Very warm over the weekend. Well, now the rain we have to deal with today, and especially still around this morning in the southeast, but we'll begin to dry it out and cool it off as we head through the rest of the week. Should seem to be a little more comfortable, I think, Pam. No doubt about it.
All right. Not necessarily the ideal, but we're prepared for. Appreciate it, Stu. Have a good day. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, keeping you up to date on what's coming your way weather-wise. And like we said, what's coming your way here from State Fair Park, we're going to focus in on another one of our century sesquicentennial farm families that's going to be joining us here at State Fair Park in about an hour for their public recognition of the feat, keeping their farms and homes in the family for 100 or 150 years. Stick around for that story. And like I said, the story on Wall Street has been difficult to follow this week. What's going on with not just our U.S. currency situation and stock values, but globally? That impacts commodities. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us to keep us up to speed on that news of the day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Citing imminent threats to our election system, the American Bar Association's Task Force for American Democracy released a report recommending ways legal professionals can take a larger community role to restore public confidence in our democratic republic. The ABA issued the report August 2nd after a year of listening sessions and input from around the country. It states, "Too many of us have taken our democracy, our rule of law, our civic norms, and our freedoms for granted, and have not done the hard work required to keep a free and fair democratic republic. The threats we are facing are real and they are existential. It is well past time for each of us to publicly say what we all know." The ABA recommends its members volunteer as poll workers and urge others to help, give talks and write op-eds for local news outlets, offer legal services defending democracy and the rule of law, assist in answering election questions from voters, monitor and help election boards, refute election misinformation, and direct voters to reliable sources, and to donate time to the Election Official Legal Defense Network to help protect poll workers. The task force also urges members to model civil behavior and publicly condemn political violence or the threat of violence in their community, among several other recommendations. We've linked to the full list of ABA recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Debbie has weakened to a tropical storm, slamming parts of the southeast. National Weather Service meteorologist John Quagliarello.
Potential for historic rainfall, which is likely to result in areas of catastrophic flash and urban flooding this week in association with tropical storm Debbie.
At least 5 deaths blamed on the storm, 1 in Georgia, 4 in Florida. Stocks are bouncing back after yesterday's market sell-off. CBS's Jolene Kent.
It is highly unlikely that the Fed will call an emergency meeting. We do expect that previously scheduled meeting in mid-September, though, to yield an interest rate cut. It's just now a matter of how much.
A federal judge has ruled Google's been violating U.S. antitrust law by spending billions of dollars to promote its search engine. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
In a lot of ways, one of the easier parts of this case has been answered. Now that Google is decidedly a monopolist, now the hard part is what do we do about it?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is preparing for flooding. More than 3 inches of rain could fall overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning in some parts of the state. A flood watch is in effect for an area stretching from Portage and Columbus southeast to the Milwaukee area. The fate of billions of dollars from Washington to Wisconsin is at stake as voters decide whether to amend the state constitution August 13th. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
It touches every aspect of our lives, from our roads to our social services to education. And this would have far-reaching and far-lasting effects.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront. A no vote would keep the power over spending federal money in Wisconsin with the governor. A yes vote would give that power to the legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Packers get Kraft back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After suffering a torn pectoral muscle this spring, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft has been cleared to practice.
I think the reason why I'm playing in the NFL is because my yak capabilities. You know, we get in a hot situation, I'm in the flat, catch the ball, it's a 20-yard game.
Baseball, L.A. Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman returned to action after being at his 3-year-old son Max's bedside last week, paralyzed with Guillain-Barré syndrome.
It's been a long week. No one should have to go through this, especially a 3-year-old. I don't know how many times Chelsea and I said we wish we could switch, you know.
The boy's now back home in recovery. Freeman thanking the Dodgers organization and Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Anybody associated with the Dodgers has been incredible. And then I want to give a shout out to Pat Murphy and his staff. They actually sent a whole video to us and my family about how they were praying for us and wishing us well.
The Brewers play the Braves tonight in Atlanta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangent with Luke Mathers, and we'll discuss the new Democratic vice presidential candidate. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Lingering showers and thunderstorms this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, 68, with wind out of the northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, 64. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie.
Welcome to Merlot at the Movies. So without spoilers, what did you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. When it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. It really helps, too, with people that are scared of storms. If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to land for Kamala Walk.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. The
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Shaw, WAUK.
With Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke at State Fair Park here in West Dallas. I'd have the rest of the team cheer because we're all out here, but they're a little bit busy. 7 o'clock this morning, we're getting ready to join State Fair staff in recognizing 152 families from across the state of Wisconsin that have attained either the 100 or 150-year mark in ownership of that farm or home in the same family. In fact, Charity is going to have a story with one of the oldest farms we'll be recognizing this morning in just a little bit. Yeah, it is the sixth day of August, and aside from all the goings on here at State Fair Park in West Dallas, this date, 2023, Barbie, the movie, passed the $1 billion mark at the global box office. In fact, the director, Greta Gerwig, was the first solo female filmmaker to ever do that. Happened on this day back in 2023. And I'm going to tell you a personal story with a historical perspective. If you're going to Mackinac Island today in Michigan, be ready for a party probably later this afternoon. See, today is Jamaican Independence. And when I worked on the island as a waitress a million years ago when I was in college, the workers that came from Jamaica to work at the Grand Hotel celebrated their independence with a big party. I don't know if the tradition still goes on, but boy, it was a fond memory for me when we worked at Mackinac Island. Jamaican independence on this date back in 1962. There, you went down the historical rat hole with the Farm Babe, and now you know. As I said, the entire Midwest Farm Report team is out here at State Fair Park on a not real friendly Tuesday morning, getting excited to welcome in literally hundreds of people from across the state that just want to recognize mom, dad, grammy, grampy, uncle, aunts, cousins, whomever it's taken to keep a farm in the family for 100 years for our century honorees, 150 years for our sesquicentennial group. Charity Seebecker got a chance to visit with the oldest farm that we'll recognize this year, and that's in Ozaukee County.
This Ozaukee County farm's history dates back over 150 years. Jeff Decker shares more about the history of his family's farm.
June 18th, 1847, Nicholas Decker purchased 160 acres of land in the town of Belgium in Ozaukee County after they moved here from, I believe it was Heinsert, Germany in 1847.
And so what buildings were on it? What was the size, the acreage? What was that original farmstead?
The original farmstead was bare land, and they built the farm up from that. The house they built in 1848 is currently still on the property, which I live in today. At that time, they built a granary, chicken coop, a couple barns, and all are there except for one barn. One barn was destroyed in a barn fire in 1969, so that was replaced with our newer milking facility, which is now dates because we are no longer milking cows.
So what were those first years like? Were there any stories that were passed down of farming through the war, a Great Depression, or anything that really stood out to you in the early years of the farm?
Doing some history research, we did find out that there's a set of train tracks that run through our property, and there's a lot of if you want to call them hobo type people, or I'm not sure what to really call them, but there's a lot of people that just kind of lived by the train track or lived there and kind of came and helped on the farm just for a day or two just to help out for a meal or something like that.
So then How has the farm been passed on? Take me through kind of, it went from this person to the next person, how it got to you and some of those improvements over time that have been made.
It stayed in the family its whole life, obviously. Went from the founder, Nicholas Decker, to John Decker, who was the son of Nicholas. And then it passed on from John to Art and Alois Decker in the early to mid-1900s. And then passed on to their brother, Clarence, in 1965. And then passed on to my dad and my uncle, Dave Milton Decker, in 1969 to 2019. And in 2019, I took over the operation.
So what do you think makes your farm unique then?
What makes our farm unique? One thing that we're pretty proud of is we've always done the work ourselves. We've never had hired hands. It was myself, my dad, my uncle, and my cousin Scott. Growing up, we've always done the work. We've never relied on anybody else to help us.
And so what is the farm today then? What does a farmstead look like? I know you mentioned you sold the cows, but so what is it today?
So the milking barn, currently I'm in the process of deconstructing it, working with the NRCS because we have a manure pit, trying to decommission that. The freestall barn, the milking parlor, should be torn down in the next year or two, and I hope to put some grain bins. The old granary is torn down. The chicken coop is torn down for a nice workshop now. But the original old barn is still standing and still staying strong and will probably stand strong for a while. So. And the original homestead house that was built in 1848 is still very strong.
So then is there a next generation that potentially will take on that farmstead and make it whatever maybe they want to make it moving forward?
We will see. Unfortunately, I have no sons right now, so I have two daughters, and I do have some nephews that have spoken about being somewhat interested, so we'll see where things go.
Jeff Decker shares a story of his family farm in Ozaukee County. The Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Program originated as part of Wisconsin's Centennial Celebration in 1948. Each year, about 100 properties are honored. You can listen to some of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compeer Financial's AgriMindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compeer's next AgriMindset webinar at compeer.com/register. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
Horse owners, you might want to double check your vaccination papers. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services confirmed their first case of West Nile virus. It was detected in a bird sample that came out of Chippewa County. But remember, that bird likely contracted it from mosquitoes. Dr. Paul Cundy is a veterinarian with the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, and he says that horse owners need to double check on vaccinations and amp up your insect control around the stable.
The diseases that horses get are very often transmitted by mosquitoes. And so when we hear of any horse that shows up as positive with one of these diseases, whether it be West Nile virus or one of the encephalitis viruses, horses will be quarantined. There'll be follow-up that needs to happen. And really, at that point, it's a matter of making sure that these horses are kept away from other horses. That's step number one. Number two is the buildings that they stay in and the treatments they might get for insect control are in place. And so a lot of the transmissions, as you mentioned, happen via insects. And so that insect control is a big part of it.
Dr. Paul Cundy with the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, he says that horses that contract West Nile virus may display flu-like symptoms. And then again, some can get really bad neurological symptoms. And in fact, it could cause death. So probably wise to just slow down and take another look at your vaccination papers or have a conversation with your veterinarian. Well, markets yesterday in Chicago were just crazy. Our commodities were all right, but boy, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went all over the place, mostly down. Talking about that with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing. Although we're at State Fair Park in West Dallas, John is going to, through the magic of technology, keep us up to speed on what's going on there. Yesterday in Chicago, our barrel cheese dropped 2 cents to 191. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny at 184. Double A butter on Monday, unchanged at 310.5 per pound. The fluid milk contracts had a tough day yesterday. Saw the September milk lose 56 cents to 1989. October was down 32 at 20.32 a hundredweight. As far as the grain trade was concerned, December corn finished 3.75 cents higher at 407. November's new crop soybeans were up 13.5, 10.40¾. September wheat, that was a half cent higher on the close at 5.39.5 per bushel. Oh, and one staffing note. We welcome to the AgriAbility Program Michelle Bakkend as the new AgriAbility Tractor Safety Outreach Program Coordinator. AgriAbility, a program that tries to reach out to farmers that may have suffered with a farm accident or some physical limitation that makes it really challenging to keep farming. AgriAbility tries to step in and help. Welcome Michelle Bakkend as their new outreach program coordinator.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Christina Lorre has some stories about Wisconsin athletes competing in Paris. And Sherita Booker reviews last week's popular social media posts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
On our Facebook page, especially Midwest Farm Reporter, Fabulous Farm Babe, and you can also find us on Instagram as well with updates throughout the day. I never know how many different ways they're going to be communicating with you, but they will be communicating with you for sure. I'm communicating on a Tuesday morning with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Despite the fact that we're working remotely this morning, I still wanted to make sure we brought John in because, my goodness, every time I turned around, John, and looked at the Dow Jones Industrial Average on Monday, I was more and more disappointed. And this has been a theme. And I want to remind people, although they may think of it as their 401k, it still has a major impact on our commodities, too, huh?
Very much so. I mean, obviously, when you look at fund trading and money flow and things of that nature in the marketplace, they're all tied together to some form or another. And, you know, this move that we've seen in the equity markets really started on Wednesday and Thursday last week. We saw some heartbreak in terms of those equity futures. Basically, it came off of first, we had the Fed meeting. Sounds like they want to cut interest rates in September. Then the very next day, we got some manufacturing data that really missed the boat. That started the sell-off. And then the jobs report came out on Friday. And usually unemployment trends. It doesn't trade or bounce one way or another back and forth. And right now, 3 months in a row, we've trended higher. So that has the market very, very concerned about the word recession kicking into a lot of people's talk here. And that the market is going after high-flying assets or assets of high value. Or historically high priced, you know, in terms of the equity markets, it was basically all those equity markets, especially the technology sector. You've seen things like Bitcoin sold off hard here, gold has sold off hard here, and then obviously in the ag sector, the one sector that was probably the most overvalued or high valued was the cattle market, and we've really taken it to the woodshed here through Monday's close.
Yeah, you know, and let's talk a little bit more. Obviously, I understand all the bigger repercussions, and I'm watching interest rates like everybody, but let's focus in on that cattle complex because, John, that's been running so red hot. Is this the end?
At least in this chart-wise, technically, it looks to be that way. Now, last year, we rolled over on the first part of September in terms of when we hit our peak. You know, this year, you know, maybe it's a little bit earlier based on what's happening with the equity markets. You know, we're kind of at a spot here. Last few weeks, we've seen retail demand soften, cash markets kind of flattened out. You know, so it was starting to feel a little heavy. And you look at the long-term picture, long-term charts, there's a lot of air under this cattle market. And again, really sometimes fundamentals get moved to the sidelines if the money flow goes the wrong direction, and that sure feels like it, where we are. Now, we'll get through this period. We'll find some stability somewhere. Then we'll see what the market's reaction is going to be, you know, because those fundamental factors of tight supplies and things are out there. But if we truly are moving into an economy that's going to be a little bit more recessionary, you know, unemployment creeping up, earnings coming down, that's going to hurt that beef demand. And that's one of the reasons why we triggered the sell-off in the cattle market.
John Heimberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. Always want to remind you that if you want to catch up with him, one of the ways to do it is going to TotalFarmMarketing.com. That's their website, TotalFarmMarketing.com. And, of course, you can always feel free to give him a call, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. On Monday, John, the other area that I was watching pretty closely, soybeans. Soybeans suddenly got a quick pop of action, made me wonder if I was missing out on some kind of international activity there.
Yeah, there's a couple things kind of brewing in that soybean market. A little bit more chatter on the export demand. There was talk China was in the market trying to pick up some beans. Unfortunately, it seems like every cargo of U.S. beans they're buying, they're still buying two from Brazil. So we need to see some bigger sales there. But that may be enough for this market to find a little bit of a bottom. Also, there's some repercussions going on here regarding that equity sell-off and those other markets selling off. You know, they've been sitting on the short side of these grains for a long time, heavy short in those markets. So that's some of the reason we're not seeing the impact of this sell-off in the grains. But actually, we're seeing some short covering, and typically that's probably for money flow purposes because they're on margin calls for those other positions. They're taking money away from their winners, buying back those short positions in order to generate cash to cover margins on some of those other markets they got caught on.
Yeah, that's the devil of the detail, folks. That's why we want to be talking to John Heimberg about this. So, buddy, what kind of advice do you have for cattle producers, soybean growers? Let's talk to the ag sector. What should we be doing at this kind of uncomfortable time for those of us watching our 401ks?
Yeah, cattle futures, you know, cattle market right now, just try to get some coverage in. Make sure we got some things in there. If you got cattle that are on feed, ready to get close to the marketing side, maybe we start pulling them ahead to meet the stronger cash market that's here. I do expect that to slide this week, though, with this drop in prices. The packers are going to pull back bids pretty aggressively, I would assume. On the grain side, again, it's still a defensive market. Take advantage of rallies like this just to get some more sales covered. I still have a downside target here for a fall low, another 50 cents down to maybe on corn, possibly $1.40-$1.90 or so on that bean market. You know, so I'm still very, very cautious here. So here's a rally into a heavy supply year. You know, get some bushels targeted here, get some floor put in because, again, we could be a lot worse shape, you know, 2 months from now than we are now, especially if things hold together in terms of this crop, which it sure looks like it's doing.
All right. Good enough, buddy. You bringing the girls to the state fair?
I'm going to try to make it down there, but sometimes the crowds are a little much for me. So.
Well, we'll see how the weather takes care of some of that. All right, my friend. Thanks a lot for making the extra time for us, John. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
All right. John Heinberg joining us on a Tuesday. He is with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, the guy you want to turn to in these uncertain times. Not knowing what's going on, it really does matter what you're managing. They are all about helping you with risk. TotalFarmMarketing.com. TotalFarmMarketing.com or 800-334-9779. Folks, that's going to do it for us. But do follow us on social media all day today as the team is having fun at the Wisconsin State Fair along with State Fair Park staff and the Century Sesquicentennial Farms that are already starting to roll into the grounds at this early hour. Have a great Tuesday. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Same time, same channel.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your Realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
America's farmers are looking at a very tough year ahead financially. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
I have never experienced a worse time in my 40 years of farming, and the stress has taken a toll on my health as I wonder how our operation will survive.
That's North Carolina farmer David Dunlow at a recent hearing by the U.S. House Ag Committee on financial conditions in farm country. Dunlow says he's not alone.
In North Carolina, production costs are all well above the market prices. There's not a single commodity I produce that will cash flow. I and other southeastern producers are hanging on by a thread.
The existing farm bill, currently operating in extended mode, needs to be updated to reflect current conditions, and fast, says Dunlow.
In previous years, when market prices were below cost of production, growers could benefit from the commodity title to offset losses. However, that is no longer the case. The reference price, established back in 2018, long before the disruptions of COVID, has not kept pace with inflation, rendering the safety net ineffective today.
Tomorrow, an ag banker shares his concerns about the farm financial condition. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils Advocates radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his curl. Tune in, Devils.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, we are going to talk about the rent-to-own hustle. All kinds of stuff is offered on a rent-to-own basis. Appliances, furniture, electronic equipment, even used cars. And the deal with rent-to-own is that you don't own the thing, whatever it is, until you've made years of weekly or monthly payments that are usually small and seem affordable. This totally happened to an old boyfriend of mine. Cody wanted to buy a TV. It cost $200. He didn't have it. But he went to this rent-to-own place who said that they could hook him up with it for $8.50 a week. Which seemed okay until afterwards we did the math and it turns out he paid more than $600 for a $200 TV. I mean, the interest rates were sky high. They're usually around 300% and as much as 500%. If you can, save up and then buy. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.